Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Langer, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trent Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
There's a little bounce in the studio today, because we know that at about 11 o'clock, Martin will be showing up with some piping hot pizza pies. You know, I sent him a picture last night. I think, Brian, you were on the text of Obi Clark's. I figured, you know, if Martin wants to see how an Irishman can make pizza, have a pizza from Obi Clark's and maybe pick up some strategy from the way they did it. So we sent him some photos. I'm excited about this. Plowsy?
The best part is we know if Martin's making it, it's not a gluten-free pizza.
That's right. No, he was threatening that he wouldn't make it gluten-free.
Well, actually, you kind of suggested something.
Well,
didn't
I like arugula on pizza.
I actually don't mind arugula.
Yeah.
Well, as long as there's some other
stuff
on it.
But make sure
the something else on it, like some pepperoni or sausage or whatever.
Bacon.
But some arugula on top kind of helps pick up a little kick to it.
Yeah. All right, we'll see how the Irishman does cooking pizza today.
Well, I'm a little concerned because he said that, like, he implied the success rate of his pizzas was not 100%. Like, there are some that weren't great,
yeah,
especially early on, and he will be making these early in the day. So I'm a little concerned.
Well, I got to believe Kim is there this morning, and maybe she's kind of overseeing things. So we're in better shape there. All right, let's see. We had a good guest list today, first of all. We're gonna talk some high school prep sports with David Quidall from the Post-Dispatch. He is the best reporter of high school sports in this area. He's unbelievable. Chris Kerber, 10:45, is the Blues prep for a big one against Ottawa. Martin at 11 and at 11:20, live from Brooklyn. Hello again, everybody. Bob Ramsey will join us. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. The Missouri Tigers. Their season ended last year in Nashville, but that was after 20 wins and at the NCAA tourney.
That was here. No, or was the tournament game in Nashville?
Their season ended,
oh,
yeah.
God.
It will end this year in Nashville, but in the conference tourney with 17 losses. However, with that said, you had to admire what you saw last night. You had to really appreciate what Jordan Geist did. A career-high 30 points. He knows that each time he goes out, it's likely the last game he will play. Oh, I don't know. Maybe there's some league, you know, across the world that'll pay him, you know, $500 a week to play. I don't know. It's almost assuredly the last game for Jordan Geist in the United States. And he was incredible. He extended his career. Relentless and efficient. He was 9 of 15 from the field. 10 of 13 from the line. A career high 30 points. Unbelievable. He's not a great player. He had a great game and he had a good year. There's no doubt he was the MVP of the squad. And as I have said countless times, if Jordan Geist is your best player in the SEC, you're likely not finishing high in the standings. If he's a role player, you know, like your fourth or fifth, that's good. Because he's a solid player. And last night he was more than solid. He was sensational. He really was. Congratulations to Geist. Let's hear from the coach after the game.
He's tough. He's battle-tested. You know, he's a guy that, you know, dreamed of being at this level. So he didn't take it for granted when he got to this point. He worked extremely hard to get here. And now you're seeing the results of his hard work. He's always been a tough kid, you know. And now with putting the work in, you know, 20,000 shots when I got the job in April just to show that he can play. And you see the grit in him. He's not fazed by the atmosphere of the stage. He's battle-tested.
It's Auburn next. Gosh, that league is good. And I tell you what, folks, take a look at that Georgia team right now, because you're not going to see them look like that again. Help is on the way. They have a top 15 player in the country, an unbelievable recruiting class. Tom Crean is, he's not going to coach teams without great talent, and he's assembling it right now. All right. Also, Illinois. I got to tell you, that's a huge victory. They slipped past Northwestern in overtime. Feliz had the big three-point play to put them up, and then some free throws by Northwestern sent the game to OT. But Georgie was unbelievable.
And with IU really struggling that whole game, it is nice to have another young guy, big step up.
Yeah, he's a nice player.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was Northwestern, you know, kind of one of the weaker teams in the Big Ten. So, you know, you were hoping for a win anyway, so the OT kind of is a little disappointing, but huge win for Illinois.
And here's the thing, too. They have Iowa today, and Iowa stumbled down the stretch. I think they've lost their last four games.
And they played awful down the stretch.
Yes, absolutely, and you got an Illinois team kind of feeling good after a big overtime victory in an area you'll probably have a lot of fans. Who knows what could happen tonight at 8:30?
I'll watch every second of it.
Yep. 8:30, Big Ten Network, Illinois against Iowa.
In 590, the fan?
That's right. All right, lap two. The MLS for the Lou. David Hunt has been relentless on the story. He exclusively interviewed Commissioner Garber on the topic. So we kind of know what's going on. Sacramento has a billionaire owner, too. They have USL also. They could have rivalries in their state also. So, David, what do you think right now, St. Louis and the MLS?
San Jose and then two in Los Angeles. So the Sacramento would be a good competitor to rival for San Jose. But that doesn't mean that I think that is the kind of stuff they're looking at, right? Again, it's really tough to figure out, like, do they like Sacramento more, do they like St. Louis more? I mean, I think the what's turned this around is the Taylors. You know, it's a big name, a big family with tons of respect here, tons of respect across the nation, and yeah, I don't mean to be crass, but a ton of money, right?
Yeah,
that matters for these guys. You know, they want somebody who has staying power. They don't want to have to do remember they're trying to get out of a problem that's been created in Columbus, right, where that team really has struggled. So they want to do this right. They say that over and over again. We want to do this right.
You know, Andy Taylor, the head of the Taylor family, has done a lot of benevolent things and a lot of great things for, you know, many people in St. Louis. I got to believe that he could lean on some people and go to some of these CEOs and basically say, we need you on that stadium. We need your company on that stadium. And we need your name on this jersey. I mean, if anybody is connected, if anybody has power, if anybody has respect in the history of St. Louis, it's Andy Taylor. So that's what it comes down to. I think you show the commissioner, hey, here's our stadium plans, here's the stadium sponsorship, and here's the jersey sponsorship. Now tell us no. But you talk about checking boxes. Oh, my goodness. And the fact that I really go back to that interview, I believe it was with Taylor Twellman, where he talked about the importance, or maybe it was the USA Today article, yeah, where he just talked about the importance of these state rivalries and these territory matchups where you have St. Louis against Kansas City, and specifically mentioned that. I think we're in good shape, but who knows? Lap three. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Here come the Blues. Three games in 4 days. One bad opponent, one average opponent, and one great opponent. I wouldn't mind another 5.3-game road trip, would you? But you have to win in Ottawa tonight. It would help if you could score a little, too. Three goals in their last two games without Vladimir Tarasenko. I know we have some gifted offensive defensemen. In fact, I think the Blues have the highest scoring defenseman group as a unit in the league, or one of them. But here's my statement. I haven't covered a Blues team, I don't think, that's just reliant, so reliant on one set of forwards. It's just crazy. I mean, 13-0 with the top line playing together, and who do you feel good about that's not named Vladimir Tarasenko, Braden Schenn, or Ryan O'Reilly? I mean, you could have put Perron in there. Who knows? He may play today, play tonight, and we're going to talk with Chris Kerber about that. But what forward would you say has overachieved? I mean, Robert Thomas has been a solid player for age 19. I would not be surprised if the coach motivates the troops tonight and they come out flying and scoring. Yep. In fact, the Cusumano guarantee, which is at 18-14 career-wise now, is on for tonight. The Blues will win in Ottawa. Lap four. The best sporting event of the week could have been what happened last night at the Enterprise Center. First, it was Lafayette and Duchesne in the Wickenheiser Cup. And congratulations to the Lancers. They win it 4-2. Two great programs. Then, the Battle of the Jesuits. DeSmet and DeSmet East. I mean, SLU. Battling for the title that only one can have. A regulation game wasn't enough. It was tied. A first overtime? No, that wasn't enough either. The game went to double overtime. And it was Jack Hazelton with the drive from the point, and Martin Lyons, I believe, tipped it in. So St. Louis University High School wins it. They win the Challenge Cup Hockey Championship. Place was going bonkers. I mean, it was crazy for like hours. Like the last hour and a half of that game, it was just really loud. I don't know how many people were in the building, but they were going crazy. Strick is on the analysis, knows every backstory of every player. It was beautiful. One thought, though. Why does the game have to be watched on a computer screen? Why can't this thing be on Fox Sports Midwest? I mean, I don't think you're dealing with the politics of the Missouri State High School Activities Association. So just put it on television. These young hockey players deserve it. I guess, you know, Fox looks at it as a bottom line thing, but it's a shame because it's good television. I guess the audience just isn't that big for it, but we sent a guy there, a photographer, and then I was watching on the computer screen too, but it's a shame. I think this deserves Fox Sports Midwest. All right, lap five. Cardinal thoughts. I don't think we should be concerned that the Cardinals are the lowest scoring team in the Grapefruit League by a sizable margin, or that they're 7-10. Let's focus on the positive. Marcelo Zuna is throwing a baseball. Dexter Fowler is hitting a baseball better. And the pitching has been pretty good. Dakota yesterday, 3 innings, 3 Ks, 1 run. Key question left is who does get that fifth spot, Dakota Hudson or John Gant? The commish on the topic.
Well, I think the only real options are Dakota Hudson and John Gant, and they'll both get starts the rest of the way here, and the other guy will turn up in the bullpen. Gant's out of options, so I don't want to lose him. And Hudson has options, but they don't want to option him. They only have 12 pitchers better than him. So Hudson was the tough part about putting him in the bullpen is that he was so good coming in with men on base last year and getting ground balls and stuff, but he's probably the better starter of the two also.
So we'll know that pretty shortly. All right, lap six. Speaking of Cardinal pitching, what did you think of the little hint that Mike Schilt dropped yesterday, Brian and Plowsy, that he's going to go, or he's leaning towards 12 pitchers? I absolutely love it.
Yes, I do, because that 13th pitcher usually isn't very good.
Yeah.
So I would rather them load up, and maybe that 13th hitter allows you to try to be creative with a Jairo Munoz, or if he's healthy, a Jed Jerko, and maybe you can actually have a bench that's worth using, which they haven't always had in recent years.
And we always have the scholarship pitcher, whether it be in the regular season, especially you can point out some series in the postseason that there's a guy on there for no apparent reason. So I think just starting off with as many hitters as possible, because you have a lot of guys with question marks who could slump early. So I think having an extra batter, I like it.
Next, how about the career of Dick Grote, former MVP of the National League in 1960, former Cardinals shortstop? He's 88 years old, and he's ticked off about not doing Pittsburgh basketball, the University of Pittsburgh basketball, on the analysis. He's a basketball player, too.
I did not know he was still alive.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you, until you mentioned that story today.
But can you imagine, like, at 88 years old, you'd be ticked off about not having a job or not being able to do that? I mean, I guess, you know, Tony Soprano's uncle was kind of the head of the mob, and he was really old.
But that's, Junior.
Yeah.
Or was he a sap? Junior Soprano.
Yeah, I like that.
Tony running things behind the scenes. I guess maybe you just feel like, what else are you going to do if you're not working? There are some people like that.
I don't want you to tell me the answer to this question, okay, but it looks like Tony Soprano's wife may be having an affair.
I won't answer it.
Okay.
You'll see.
Pause. Have you seen it? Have you started The Sopranos?
Oh, I've seen it twice.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's good.
I always thought she's a lovely lady. She's always dressed to the T. She's a nice mother. I think she's a beautiful woman. I don't know what he's thinking.
But with his job, you know, there's a lot of stress.
Yeah, I saw him do a little stress relief with an associate at one of his businesses last night. Okay, one other thought. Ladue High School, and Benjamin Hockman has a great article today, has a shot at a rare double-double to win a state championship in football and in basketball in the same year. That is just sensational. And Borgia was the last team to do it in this area, in this side of the roof, in this side of the state, in 1993, 1994. Now, I think it's going to be tough for Ladue. They have size. They're well-coached. They've had some great things happen for them. But Yuri Collins, that's going to be a difficult draw.
Is this true that Dick Grote is Brooks Koepka's uncle?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
How about that?
Good ball strikers. All right, let's take a short time out. We'll talk with David Quidall when we come back. But before we go to break, quick word about our good friends at Maryville University. If you're looking for a great place to send your son or daughter, we recommend Maryville University. You can go to that website, maryville.edu, and it'll tell you everything you need to know about that school. All I can say is when we visit it on the Town and Country campus, we are so impressed with the buildings, with the attention to detail, and the fact that they're continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. It's a core value of the institution and one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. We'll be right back.